Last year, the commission actually conducted an investigation about the role that is being played by the National Security Service and the way in which that has led to real censorship, not just of the civilian population, but also censorship of the media and really harassment of civil society and political opponents. And I think what we singled out in our report is also the practice of arbitrary detentions and enforced disappearances, and also renditions of activists who have been in other parts of the region, like Kenya and Uganda. And of course, once that's happened, they've been in detention indefinitely, and some of them have also been killed.
I would like us to go back to the sections that you mentioned, Section 54 and Section 55. What are the implications of these sections on the South Sudanese people? Because you say that the national security has records of arbitrary arrest, detention, and forceful disappearances.
Well, firstly, they don't align with any human rights regime, and certainly not with South Sudan's, in fact, they signatories to the International Convention on Civil and Political Rights. And so what Section 54 allows, that the NSS can actually arrest any person without having an official warrant. And what that will mean is that people will get picked up and nobody will even know that, in fact, they've been arrested and detained. And then in addition to that, you have Section 55, which allows them to do that with a warrant. But at the same time, of course, the way, the clandestine way in which the NSS has operated will mean that, in fact, people will get picked up in the country and nobody will actually know about what has happened to them. One of the issues that was raised last year in our report was, in fact, I think, a relic of how the NSS has modeled itself on, the intelligence service of Sudan. And in fact, they set up what we would call ghost houses, which date right to the period before independence and which continue until now. And in fact, what we would say is, and I'm not sure, I'm sure you know very well, that nobody in South Sudan can actually hold any event at any venue if they do not have the permission of the NSS. And in fact,
what are some of the best practices, examples that the government of South Sudan should look into to avoid a copycat of the Sudan security system?
I think the first is obviously what had been intended to be, which was really a reform of the National Security Services. The second, of course, is to make sure that it's not used at the behest of the presidency and people who are close to him, and that, in fact, there should be civilian oversight, like there is in most countries, of the National Security Services. I think the third is making sure that, in fact, what we would call illegal operations, which are, blocking off social media sites, phone hacking and intimidation and harassment should in fact stop. And of course, most of all, they should not have the power to arrest people, whether it's with a warrant or without a warrant, because that is actually a police, service and not something that the NSS should be operating or implementing. The other is, of course, the closure of all of these unlawful detention sites and really publishing that where they do have these sites, that we actually know where they are, so that, in fact, there can be a regular check of that. There's no judicial oversight like there is in many countries where you're expected to bring somebody before a judge or a magistrate within a particular amount of time. And so what that creates is also a lack of accountability in terms of question of governance.